Justice Wisconsin, the truth, the most requested advocate in the state. 101.7 FM, the movement continues. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Milwaukee, stand up, stand up.
It's Tory Lowe, the truth, from one to four. We about that action, so tap in and let's go. We want that justice, we want all the smoke. From Monday through Friday, trying to bring the city hope, yeah. Tory Lowe from 1 to 4, Monday through Friday, let's go. We bout that action from the block, and we ready, let's go. Tap in, and it ain't no holding back. We ready, we ready.
One-on-one, seven the truth, Tory Lowe show. DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. The movement continues. The marathon continues right here. On 101.7 the truth. Hey, look, we got a guest in studio, Truth Nation. And we've been talking about self-care all month. And it's important for us to reflect and making sure that we're emotionally balanced. Many times when we talk about pain, struggle, sometimes when you get in a situation where, you know, there's tragedy, there's things going on in life where things can get chaotic, you need somebody to talk to you. You need somebody that can understand. You need somebody that can help you heal. Well, we got a guest today. We got Evangelist Cynthia McKnight in studio, and she has an event coming up called Mending Broken Hearts. Yes. Mending Broken Hearts. You out there mending the broken hearts.
Yes, I am really trying to mend broken hearts in Milwaukee and Wisconsin.
And now, you got this event coming up, Come and Be Healed. It's going to be at Cannon Park, 303 North 95th Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This is April 5th from 12 to 4 p.m. You also got a verse, you know, Revelations 12 and 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Yes, the words of your testimony. The reason why I said that is because we overcome when we talk about it. So that's the words of our testimony. You can't overcome anything when it's bottled up inside, because when things are bottled up on the inside, it turns into something tragic.
Right.
But when you begin to talk about it, when you begin to let it go, when you get around people who have suffered the same issues as you have, you can begin to heal. See, when it comes to pain, anything that you yield to God, he will mend. So he's mending broken hearts.
And you're talking on a spiritual level. Many times, a lot of us, we look at the physical, you know, the carnal.
Yes.
You know, we try to go and fix things by many times resorting to drugs, alcohol, you know, sex, you know, things that we think that may heal us or get us find another relationship or something like that. You're talking about spiritual, connecting with yourself on that mental and spiritual level.
Connecting with yourself on that mental and spiritual level, which is going to ultimately help you. You tried all those pains before. You tried the sex. You tried the drugs. You tried the alcohol. Why not try different things on a spiritual level to get the help that you need and the healing that you need?
Now, I'll tell you this. We need healing.
Yes.
And we've been talking about healing ourselves. We've been talking about making sure that we are, today I started the show talking about emotional balance.
Yes.
You know, and many times families are hurting due to maybe something that happened in their childhood, due to relationships, maybe abuse, maybe losing a loved one.
Yes.
When you talk about having these events, mending broken hearts, what do you mean? And why did you start doing these type of events?
I started doing Mending Broken Hearts because in 2013, I'm on both sides of the spectrum.
Right.
So in 2013, my son was murdered here in Milwaukee.
Wow.
His name is Rayvon Wilson. He was an awesome kid.
Mm-hmm.
He was an awesome human being. And then in 2016, I had another child get shot.
Oh, wow.
But this time, this one didn't die. He got paralyzed. So he's paralyzed from the waist down. So when I say that I'm on both sides of the spectrum and how I feel like I can help you with mending broken hearts, I've lost a son, and that's grief. But I'm dealing with a son that can't walk anymore, so that's grief too.
Paralyzed.
And so how I begin to deal with those. Being on both sides of the spectrum, I begin to heal spiritually.
Mm.
Because now, naturally wasn't helping me.
So when you talk about dealing with families, because you are actually someone who comes from the tragedy.
Yes.
Where you had to deal with it personally.
Yes.
And many times you have two sons.
Yes.
That were stricken right here in the city of
Milwaukee. Yes, gun violence.
So when you talk about dealing with other families and reaching out and creating events to heal broken hearts, many times, how do you start that conversation? How do you get the people to say, "Hey, look, let me start this journey"? How do you initiate the conversation?
I initiate the conversation. Really, to be honest, that's good that you say that. I always ask the mother or the father, are you in need of fresh ears?
Mm.
Because we talk to the same people all the time. But when you get fresh ears, you get a fresh perspective. So I start that conversation off by asking them, do you need fresh ears? Then I say, if you let me guide you, I can guarantee you that your tears will become further apart than they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you first start your journey, you're crying almost every day, all day, 24 hours a day.
Right.
But once you begin to yield that pain and walk day by day in it with love, kindness, and support, because the Bible says, with love and kindness have I drawn thee.
Yeah.
So when you begin to walk with individuals according to whatever it is they're dealing with, and can I tell you that mending broken hearts this year, I've opened it up to everybody. So you don't have to be in a position where you lost a child. You may have lost a husband, a wife. You may be going through a divorce. You may be grieving because you was molested. So it's different forms of grief. And so this year, not only do I endeavor to help mothers and fathers who lost a child, but I'm opening it up to anybody that's dealing with any type of grief.
Mm. So you're not just saying violence or anything. You're talking about any type of trauma.
Any type of trauma.
So you don't categorize the trauma.
No.
You know, all trauma kind of can be worked out through the same methods.
Yes, it can.
And that method is discussion.
Yes.
So this is April 5th.
April 5th.
What should we expect? And how much is it?
It's absolutely free.
Absolutely free.
You don't have to register. You don't have to call no number. You don't have to type in no computer.
Mm.
All you got to do is type the address down, type my name down, type my phone number down, and just show up. You don't have to RSVP.
Powerful.
You don't have to do any of that. All I want you to do is get in the building so you can get what you need.
Mm. This is sounding powerful. This is sounding powerful now, Evangelist.
All right. Amen.
You got the help out there. Hey, look, if y'all want to know how to get mended, your heart, your broken heart mended, at Cannon Park, 303 North 95th Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Come and be healed April 5th from 12 to 4 p.m. You got some special guests.
Yes.
I'm seeing there's some special guests on the flyer.
I have women coming all the way from Philadelphia. One young lady had an encounter with an angel as her brother was passing away.
Oh, wow.
And the other young lady, she lost her son at 17 years old to gun violence in New York.
Mm.
So I'm bringing these women in to help us all heal.
It sounds like the whole healing is, is it going to be, is it like a church service or is this just
It's like a conference slash, I wouldn't call it a church service. I'm going to call it a gathering.
A gathering.
A gathering.
Fellowship.
A fellowship.
A healing.
Because I'm serving them food. I'm giving them gifts.
Ooh.
To help them navigate through the grief.
Mm.
So I'm going to call it a gathering because we're coming
and
together.
And many times people forget mothers who face tragedy in this community. And as an advocate, I got to deal with a lot of families for years, because the process, the going to court, the dealing with the everyday emotional family turmoil. You know, and I always talk about family turmoil when I deal with tragedy, because before the tragedy happened, the family was already operating a certain kind of way, maybe not talking, maybe not dealing with each other in a certain way. And then when the tragedy strikes, they all got to come together to deal with the situation. And I always tell people, you got like 3 or 4 days before you see something, what I call family turmoil, creep back into the lives of everybody. The way they felt prior to the incident.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to hurry up and organize within this 3 to 4 day window so we can get past some of the things that may occur so I can get whatever communications I need to get while everybody's trying to come together. Because after 3 or 4 days, everybody starts to go back into the previous lifestyles before the incident.
Yes, so, that's true.
So
that's
true. I see it all the time. I have to deal with it all the time. I didn't came up with precise programming to get in and get out, like to make sure that we get everything done before the turmoil creep in. And so I think that many times we forget to talk about family turmoil. You know, the resentment they have for their family members and people that they felt have wronged them, that they ain't been talking or they not dealing with each other. And that many times come into play when it comes to healing.
Yes.
You know, that family turmoil, like the anger that they have, the resentment that they have towards other family members, and maybe rightfully so. I'm not saying this not legit. I'm just saying that we have to find better ways on mending ourselves in the process. But it starts with self, too.
It starts with self, and it takes one person to start that conversation. And to get the family members back together.
Right.
Because once your loved one is gone, you're going to realize it wasn't even worth it anyway.
It wasn't even worth it.
You don't even know what the argument was about. You probably forgot it's been so many years. So why not start the healing process right there?
Right.
Don't let it be another tragedy. And then you try to mend then. Now, let's mend this relationship now. Let's talk about it now, because we all know that tomorrow ain't promised to nobody.
Right.
So why not try to heal what the issue is now? I want to share something. Can I share something with you?
Hey, we here to share.
Let me share something with you. My family don't know about this. Nobody knows about what I'm finna tell you right now. So the day that my son was murdered, I had started a class because I in my life I felt like I was inadequate. So I started the class, but that week that whole class was off. And so when I got the phone call that my son possibly was murdered, I didn't really know that he was until I got to the scene. It's going to sound crazy, but I made a just decision to forgive right then and there whoever killed him.
Mm.
I know that it sounds crazy, but it's the God's heaven truth. So I made up my mind right there at the scene, like, Lord, and this is what I said out of my mouth. I said, Lord, this was not you. And I forgive whoever did it, right? That type of forgiveness is available to anyone who will open up their heart. But it's not easy. But if you ask God to help you open up your heart, he will do exactly that. When you mend something, think about a needle, right? If something break and you mend it back together, you can't put that thing back together all at once, because if you stuff it back together all at once, it's not going to be in its original state. But if you mend something slowly, day by day, time by time, minute by minute, it will come back together exactly how it was in its original state. So you can't shock a person by expecting so much forgiveness at one time. But if you slowly mend it, it'll come together like it was never broke. Mm. That's how God works.
Hey, look, let me tell you something. You preaching today. All right, Evangelist McKnight. Hey, look, Truth Nation, we got Evangelist Cynthia McKnight in studio. She has an event coming up, Mending Broken Hearts. It's April 5th from 12 to 4 p.m. Come and be healed at Cannon Park, 303 North 95th Street in Milwaukee. When we come back, I want to know how we can, as a community, help you out in your journey to mend these broken hearts.
Amen.
Where do the broken hearts go? Hey, look, when we come back, Truth Nation, we have more conversation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
Don't touch that dial. The Tory Lowe Show will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. More of The Tory Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Seven the Truth, Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show. DJ, Brother Z on the ones and twos. We got Evangelist Cynthia McKnight in studio. Look, she got an event, Mending Broken Hearts. It's coming April 5th from 12 to 4 p.m. Come and be healed at Cannon Park, 303 North 95th Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. All right, Evangelist now.
All right.
You talking about mending these broken hearts out here.
Yes, I am, with what I endeavor to do.
It's powerful to see that the community has members that are searching and fighting to heal. You know, and healing has been a big conversation on this show many times. And we talking about healing. We talking about going through the process. But you're saying come out. Let's get some instruction. Let's get some fellowship going on. Let's get some encouragement. And let's continue to talk about it. And not only talk about it, let's heal.
Let's heal. Let's do it. Let's come together and do it. Because the one thing that I want everyone to know that's listening to the show today is that you are not alone. That there are people here who can help you navigate and who have been through the same thing.
And you had to go through your own personal experience.
Yes, I did.
You had to heal yourself.
Yes, it was, and it was not easy.
Are you a healed woman right now?
Yes, I am.
How did you go about it?
My tears are farther apart than they used to be. That's how it happened. I noticed one day God would just lead me into, when it first happened, he would lead me into like these deep sobbing cries. And the cries would be so deep and so deep that it will almost be like I'm losing my breath. But as quick as the cry came, as quick as it left. And that puzzled me. I'm like, okay, why is this happening? But as time progressed and time went on, out of nowhere, I think that people begin to see something on me that they didn't see on other people. Because maybe like 2 weeks after my son's passing, I had people inboxing me, telling me to pray for people. Can you reach out to this person? Can you reach out to that person? And it puzzled me. I'm like, Lord, I just buried my son 2 weeks ago. What's going on? Mm. It was because of the level of healing that he took me through so I can get to the process of helping other mothers heal. Mm. See, it started off as mothers. Now it's opening up to everybody. But it was originally mothers.
Oh, wow. Now, the person that took your son's life.
Yes.
You forgave him.
Immediately.
Many times a lot of people feel that, okay, you took my son's life. I want to retaliate. Mm-hmm. Or you do something to my family, we're going to spin the block on your family.
Yes. Well, first of all, the Bible says revenge is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. But it has to be by divine orchestration that I forgave the young man, because it was the very day. I said in my heart, and I meant it, and I did not take it back, Tori. Mm. I said, Lord, I forgive him.
Let go and let God.
I forgive him. I'm talking about the very day. I'm not talking about days later.
The day you heard
I'm
the
talking
news.
About the day while my son was still there, covered up with the sheet, Tori.
Oh, wow. Hey.
He was there, covered up with the sheet. And I made a just decision that whoever murdered him, I would forgive them.
Were you an evangelist at that time?
I was an evangelist, but I wasn't ordained.
Okay, so
I was a believer.
You were working in the ministry. You were actually out in the ministry. And most of the times when you see people in the ministry, it's almost like they're quick to forgive because it's almost an order, a religious idea that God has said, hey, to forgive those that, you know, despitefully use you. These are principles, spiritual principles in the Bible. So was this something out of just your belief of forgiveness? Or this is something that you just said, hey, look, I'm going to forgive him, and that you would have, did you even, when he went to court, did you feel like he shouldn't have got the time, or he shouldn't have got sentenced the way he got sentenced in that forgiveness?
Let me say this. Even though I am required to forgive because I obeyed a word,
right,
that wasn't why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for me.
Right.
I did it because I didn't want to hold on to the hurt of the and the pain that I was going to already experience from losing my son. But unforgiveness would have took me to a totally different place.
Where you would have spent the block.
What I would have spent the block or lost my religion,
right.
Or, you know, I did it for me, even though as a believer, I'm required to forgive. But forgiveness was for me, not the other person. So I chose to forgive.
Right.
When it came to the sentencing, and I saw all those people there crying for my son, over 40 something people was there. And when the sentencing went forth, it was a cheer in the room. And like I told you off the air, I proceeded to cry. And everybody probably thought that I was crying for my son, but I wasn't. I was crying for the other young man who had took my son's life, because he didn't know the love that my son had.
Mm.
He didn't know that love. And so I just chose to forgive. I just chose to forgive. And then after I chose to forgive, I started praying for God to save that young man, him and his brother.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, I know where my son gonna open his eyes at, and I want that for them. I want them to be able to see God in peace.
Mm. Hey, Like I said, we got some powerful people in this town. Hey, that's mending. Hey, that's the first step. It's forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness is it's powerful.
It's powerful. If it's powerful, if you let it rest, rule, and abide in you.
Mm-hmm.
But unforgiveness can destroy you. Do you not know that unforgiveness, bitterness, can make you sick?
The stress. We've been talking about this all month.
It literally can make you sick stress, in your body.
The high blood pressure.
It can make you sick in your body.
Yeah, stress kills.
Yes.
And many times when we talk about self-care, forgiveness is a part of self-care,
yes,
too.
Yes, it is.
And a lot of people think that, I forgive. I got to go back and go eat lunch with this person. Mm-hmm. I got to go hang out. You know,
you don't ever have to see that person no more. The son, the young men who killed my sons, I'm not going to never see them again in life. But I needed to forgive them so I can heal, so I can mend, so God can mend my broken heart, so my tears can become farther apart than they used to be.
Right.
It was forgiveness was all about me. And not so much about them.
And many times people think that forgiveness is for the other people.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not.
I tell people, no, you got to first forgive yourself.
Yes.
Like, you got to forgive you before you can genuinely forgive somebody else.
You got to. You definitely got to forgive yourself.
Right.
Then you can forgive other people.
Facts.
Because I had the question at first, was I not praying enough? Was I not covering them enough? Where did I go wrong? What did I miss? What didn't I see? Was I too caught up in other things that I didn't see this coming?
Right.
But we don't always see it coming. The one thing that I found out about murder and about the spirit of suicide is that it catches you off guard.
Yep.
You never know when it's coming, and it's the shock of it. All grief is hard, but it's a little easier when you know.
Mm.
Like, if you have someone that's sick, you know they're going to pass on.
Inside information.
But if you don't have that inside information, it can throw you off. It can throw you to a place that you really don't want to be in.
And depression, evangelists, sometimes when I tell people, when, you know, they get depressed, you know, from these situations.
Yes.
And they go into this deep sadness.
It's almost like they get in a grave with them, Tori.
Mm.
And it, God didn't want to, he didn't call for you to get in the grave because with the loved one who went on, because there's so many other people within a family unit who needs you. And that was part of my thing, too. I had so many people in my family who needed me to be okay.
Say it
because
again.
They were watching.
And they needed your strength because life goes on.
So they were watching me to see how I reacted. They were watching.
You were actually training them how to handle it.
Yes.
Mm. How to handle tragedy.
And you know what? They're still, especially my children, they are still going through a bit of it till today, but they okay. He has a daughter. She was actually in the car with him. She okay.
Oh, wow.
It's day by day, but she okay.
Well, look, Mending Broken Hearts, April 5th, 12 to 4 p.m. It's at Cannon Park, 303 North 95th Street, Milwaukee. Evangelist Cynthia McKnight, how can the community continue to help you out in your journey to help mend these broken hearts out here in these streets?
What they can do is just get the word out. You can reach me at, can I give my
Yeah, go right ahead. It's your age.
You can reach me at area code 682-341-1971. I'm going to repeat that for you. Area code 682-341-1971. You can either give me a call or a text, or you can reach me at healingoil22 healingoil22@gmail.com. Healingoil22@gmail.com. I also do a monthly support group for women. Unfortunately, it's just for women. Sorry to all you men. What? I love y'all.
That's that double standard out here.
I love
leaving
y'all.
Leaving us out in the cold.
But I also have a monthly support group for women that's helping women heal called Chat and Chew, Real Women, Real Talk. And we come together and we deal with real issues. But if you contact me on either forum, I promise to get back with you.
All right. We got somebody in the chat. Britt says, you are right. A year ago, I would have gone into the grave with my mama. I love and miss her so much. I'm doing better, but I'll never be the same. Thanks for the conversation.
Oh, wow. You're welcome. Please reach out. I would love to connect with you.
Well, repeat that information one more time for everybody that's listening. Now.
All right. I'm Evangelist Cynthia McKnight, and you can reach me at area code 682-341-1971. 682-341-1971. You can email me at healingoil22@gmail.com.
This conversation was powerful.
Thank you,
Tori. I can't wait to see the event. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you right now, you keep working to mend these broken hearts, and if you have another event, definitely stop through. Because we need as many people in our community. We need healing. We need people that inspire and motivate to heal more now than we ever did.
Amen.
And forgiveness
is the key.
Is key.
Forgiveness is the master key.
It's sounding powerful now.
Forgiveness is the master key. It unlocks the door to everything that you need from God.
All right. Well, I appreciate you for coming on, Evangelist McKnight. Hey, look, I can't wait to have you back. The next event you have, hit me up. Let me know, because we want the community to be involved.
Amen. I will. I will definitely do that. Thank you so much, Tori.
Hey.
I know I was blowing you up.
Hey, but like I said, this is what the community needs to be a part of. And yes. Many times we don't know.
And it's my heart. It's my heart to help people.
Mm.
That is my heart. It's my passion. I breathe it. I live it. I sleep it. I really do want to help as many people as I can heal.
Well, I'm about to send a lot of people your way. And I'll be on the phone for 5 hours at a time. Like, hey, I'm going to say you have to call the Evangelist, McKnight.
Yes.
Cut my time in half on some of these conversations. Hey,
send them my way. I'll do what I can.
I try to do what I can, but man.
Do what I can. Oh, you're doing a phenomenal job.
I need a lot of people to come together, because if everybody do a little, ain't nobody got to do a lot.
And it can get done.
And
you know what? We can live in a healed city. Milwaukee can be a healed place. I believe that.
I believe it too, yeah.
I believe that
we just got to arrange some of that leadership and some of these mismanagement ideas. But we working on it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We working on it every day. We try to do a little, and every day we try to make an improvement.
Yes.
Hey, look, Evangelist McKnight, I appreciate you for coming on the show. Hey, look, Truth Nation, when we come back, we'll have more conversation. Stay locked in right here on Tori Lowe.
More of the Tori Lowe Show is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It's the Tori Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Brave. Ain't too many pigs, Bluetooth, don't send me nine, press no, who in this, but please roll these windows up, white truck, I'm popping out, black truck, come pick me up, G-Town John, she eat me up, deep down, set brave. I ran them boys on the hide in the wall with the black and the boys in the body, got work in the hood and got hoods in the tropics, I walk in the project with 400,000, she got me, she wanted the deposit, got whistle, little mileage, them on the drive, three for the vibe, you can shoot them a dime, we got shoes with the ladders, it's more we slide.
Brave.
They
101, 7 the Truth, Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show. DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. We got to stay right here in the city of Milwaukee. Milwaukee fatal shooting. Woman killed outside of the bar. The owner says he's closing his doors for good. A Milwaukee bar owner said he's calling it quits after someone shot and killed a mother of four on Sunday, March 16th. 33-year-old Renisha Butcher was fatally shot around 1:40 a.m. on Sunday morning near 107th and Grainville. Family members say it happened outside of Bar 107 Sports Bar and Grill. We got some audio and video of this if you're watching as we broadcast live on YouTube. Let's listen.
Tonight, a Milwaukee bar owner says he's calling it quits after someone shot and killed a mother of four near his business on Sunday. Our Durante Matthews shows us a history of police activity at that bar going back years.
If you walk up to Bar 107 on Milwaukee's northwest side, it's locked doors and lights out. That's a normal sight during the day, but the owner says it'll look like this from now on. On Monday, Alpesh Patel told Fox 6 over the phone he's not reopening. Patel says he made the decision after a shooting early Sunday morning that killed a mother of four. He wouldn't go on camera, but told us there was a fight inside the bar. Family members told us Sunday that 33-year-old Brenisha Butcher was trying to leave. They say someone shot and killed her across the street.
I just miss my little cousin. She didn't deserve it. Not at all.
That's not acceptable.
Ninth District Alderwoman Larissa Taylor says neighbors tell her there's a bigger picture issue.
They're very upset. This is not what the residents want to see in our district.
In a press release, she said Bar 107, quote, has repeatedly failed to meet security expectations. She announced further investigation to determine the best course of action. Within a couple of hours, the bar owner told us he's surrendering his license.
This is the most and the worst that I've heard complaints about.
Public records show this isn't the first time Bar 107 has been in the hot seat. City records going back to 2016 show multiple warning letters when renewing its license. The warnings detail police activity responding to fights, battery, and shootings, including one in the parking lot in 2022 that killed a man. The bar owner says he wants to help keep the public and his employees safe.
We want businesses to thrive in our district, but we want them to be able to contribute positively to what District 9 has to offer.
Durante Matthews, Fox 6 News.
Hey, also, they're saying that they have two men, you know, or whatever is going on with the situation. I think that they're saying that Milwaukee police, two men are charged in connection with fatal shooting and police in a police chase that happened Thursday, March 13th. I don't know if that's something that had to do with what took place. They said it was near the scene. Near 107th and Stark. As we continue to see if we can get more information, I'm still looking this up. They're saying that I guess two people have been charged. I don't know. I'm looking at these. This has just been sent. I just seen this. They're saying that police were called to a shooting around 2:30 a.m. This was March 13th when officers arrived near the scene of 107th and Stark. They found two people shot in a white Buick. One died. They're saying that these two men they're accusing 20-year-old Amarion Washington and 35-year-old Henry Taylor of fleeing police after it happened. I'll keep everybody updated on this situation. Once again, the bar is saying that they're going to shut down. It's one of those situations where we talk about people are not having the emotional balance. We started off the show talking about emotional balance. Everything ain't got to be life and death. Every situation you encounter don't have to be life and death, you know. And in this case, innocent lives were lost. And many times when we talk about going out, having fun, enjoying ourselves. A lot of people that are out here drinking and or having confrontation in these public spaces, they go and things like this happen. And they have low emotional intelligence. They don't understand how to deal with whatever they're feeling inside, and they're causing harm. They're acting in a way where people, innocent lives is being lost. And I'll tell you this, we got to make sure that we check our own emotional balance when it comes to being out, being involved, being active, being in public, DJ Brother Z. Being in public, like, I think a lot of times people don't, they get so upset and their emotional balance is so far off that all they want to do is crash out. You know, they don't think about the long-term effects of their actions. They don't. They just temporary at the moment, and then something happens, and then they click out of it. Now you done ruined lives. Now you done ruined lives. And so, like I said, condolences to the family and everybody affected negatively in this situation. But emotional intelligence, emotional balance, you got to work on that. You got to work on that because it's a matter of peace or destruction. Do you want to have peace or destruction? And many times, if you choose destruction, many times before you destroy someone else, you're making a choice to destroy yourself first. Understand what I just said. When you go to destroy something or someone else, you're making a decision first to destroy you. You're destroying yourself at the same time. Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have more conversation, Truth Nation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.
The Tory Lowe Show returns after this on 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is the Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Be trying to stay in my own lane, but sometimes get road rage in my way. Saving up my funds just went cop some more. What the f*** is you gonna run when come from both ways?
Scared of the beef, get out the 101, 7 the Truth, Tory Lowe, Tory Lowe Show. DJ Brother Z on the ones and twos. We got to head all the way over to Texas, Truth Nation. A Texas embalmer charged with felony for viciously attacking a corpse of a sex offender. She got high blood pressure when the body of a sex offender came through. A Texas woman working at a funeral home has been charged with abusing a corpse after allegedly castrating the body of the registered sex offender. I must warn you, the details of the following story is graphic and it involves a little bit of a mutilation idea and may be disturbing to some of the listeners. But we got video, if you're watching as we broadcast live on YouTube. Let's listen.
The allegations here are rare and disturbing. This embalmer is accused of stabbing this dead man twice in the groin area, then cutting off part of his private part and putting it in his mouth. Investigators say it all happened after she learned about his past. At Memorial Mortuary on the southwest side, it's a situation that no family would ever want to hear about their loved one.
This was a vicious, brutal attack of a corpse. The person's already dead. It's kind of shocking even to me.
Licensed embalmer Amber Laudermilk is accused of using a scalpel to twice stab a man in the groin after he died of pneumonia last month. She cut off his private part, put it in his mouth, according to records, and told a trainee who witnessed it, "You didn't see anything."
Two troubled lives coexisted at the same time, but this person clearly, our suspect clearly, just went off the edge.
Harris County Precinct 1 Constable deputies investigated. They say employees were too scared to report her, who, according to records, covered the dead man up with a towel when a colleague noticed the disfigurement. While a motive isn't clear, records show mortuary staff had just learned the victim was a registered sex offender.
How important are ethics in this line of work?
Ethics is everything in this line of work.
Jason Altieri runs Southeast Texas Crematory, not connected to this case, admitting this could have been hard to predict. He says families should be aware of where loved ones will be cremated, feel comfortable to ask questions, and be able to visit and see it in person.
Whether we have, you know, a particular judgment one way or the other, it doesn't matter. We're there for a family, and we have to keep that in mind.
Staff reported the case involving Laudermilk to the Texas Funeral Service Commission. The executive director says it's the only criminal abuse of corpse case across the state in the last 2 years.
Dealing with the loss of a loved one is an incredibly difficult time, and there are predators who exploit this vulnerability.
Families should proactively verify the credentials of funeral homes and directors, he says, using the agency's license lookup before putting someone to rest. Laudermilk has been a funeral director in Texas since 2021, according to records. Now the state will seek to suspend and possibly revoke her license.
It makes us all.
I wonder, has this embalmer been sexually assaulted or something? This was something deep. This was something deep down. I would love to know, was she feeling some type of way about him being a person that have sexually assaulted someone else? And maybe she was a victim and she was working and she lost it. Lost her emotional balance, DJ Brother Z. But this corpse belonged to Charles Roy Rodriguez, and they say in 2001, Rodriguez was charged with a sexual assault and given 10 years of deferred adjudication, a kind of probation given by judge with conditions decided by the court. He was first reported as a sex offender in 2002, according to the Texas Department of Public Safety and Sex Offender Registry. Wow. That's a lot going on, DJ Brother Z. Hey, emotional balance. Hey, look, when we come back, Truth Nation, we'll have more conversation. Stay locked in right here on Tory Lowe.